The FBI in peace and war. The FBI in peace and war is brought to you by refreshing, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Enjoy chewing Wrigley's Spearmint Gum every day, as millions do. The lively, long-lasting flavor cools your mouth and freshens your taste. The pleasant chewing adds enjoyment to whatever you're doing. Another great story based on Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War. Drama, thrills, action. Tonight's story, The Handyman.
Yes, sir. Can I help you?
Oh, I'm sorry. There wasn't anybody at the desk.
That's all right. You want a room? We got one vacancy, 450. And there's a diner about 2 miles down the road for breakfast.
Well, I don't want a room, thank you. I want to see the owner. About this ad in the paper.
Hmm?
Experienced gardener and handyman wanted.
Oh.
Is the owner around?
No, he'll be back in a little while. You want to wait?
If you don't mind.
No, sure. Go ahead. You can sit there.
Well, thanks. I'm kind of tired.
Walk all the way from town?
Yeah.
Some walk.
I know.
Yeah. You just rest yourself. Mr. Dixon will be along.
Well, thanks a lot.
You're not from around here, are you?
No, I'm not.
No, I could tell by the way you talk.
Well, I'm from around Boston.
Yeah. I could tell it was up north someplace. Well, you just rest. Mr. Dixon will be along. I hope he can use you.
In the spring of 1951, our technical laboratory received a package from the chief of police of the city of Harvale, Massachusetts. The package contained a shirt stained by blood and a belt buckle in which several human hairs were caught. Our laboratory was asked to make an analysis to determine if the hair and the blood were those of a man named John Porter, who had been attacked and killed by a person or persons unknown on the night of May 3rd, 1951.
Hello, Steve.
Hi, what have you got?
Report from the lab on the Harvale package. Take a look. Hello, I want to call Chief Arthur Linton in Harvale, Massachusetts. The number is Maine 0600. Thanks. I'll be here in Agent Stevens' office.
So the samples check.
Uh-huh. Same blood, same hair as Porter.
They haven't sent out an alarm for this guy Gibbon yet.
No, I guess they wanted to be sure first.
You think we'll be in on it?
Probably. But it looks pretty interesting.
From the motive angle.
Yeah. Wasn't robbery. It wasn't revenge. It wasn't jealousy.
How did they happen on this guy, Gibbon?
Well, from what I could figure, they were checking everyone who had any contact with Porter in the last 6 months. Gibbon worked for him as a handyman and was fired. When they went to Gibbon's boarding house to ask questions, he was gone. Left abruptly. Didn't even take all his clothes.
That's where they got the shirt and buckle.
Uh-huh. Oh, excuse me. Hello? Yes, I'm ready. Hello, Chief. This is Agent Reynolds down at the FBI. Well, fine, thanks. Chief, I have our lab report on that Harvale killing. Your boys were right. The blood and hair samples are the same as those of the dead man.
When it was established that Stanley Gibbon was a fugitive on suspicion of murder, our bureau agreed to cooperate in the case. Agent Reynolds and I went to Harvale, Massachusetts, the scene of the assault, and began to inquire into the background of the alleged killer. First, we wanted to know the motive.
Why did you want to come way down here?
Oh, I don't know. I get kind of restless this time of year. I like to travel.
Yeah, me too, but I gotta get stuck in a dump like this, cleaning silver, making beds.
I know. That's what they do to you, deliberately.
You can say that again.
They resent it if you've got an education.
They who?
Certain people.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. It's just that, well, there are certain types of people who resent certain other types of people. They prevent them from getting the best jobs, and they talk behind their backs.
Yeah?
Yeah, I know it for a fact.
You're a funny kind of a guy, you know that?
Mm-hmm. You think so?
In a nice way, I mean. You know what?
What?
I bet you read a lot of books, hmm?
Yeah, I read a good deal. Metaphysics, mostly.
What's that?
Well, it's studying about things beyond the physical world.
No kidding.
I could have been a college professor. They hadn't stopped me.
Gee, that's a shame. I didn't get out of high school. Uh-uh. Mr. Dixon, I thought he was in the village.
He spies on people.
Hello, Stanley. You going to cut the back lawn this morning?
I can't, Mr. Dixon. That mower's so dull it wouldn't chop butter.
Well, I told you last week to have it sharpened, didn't I?
Yes, you did. But I'm not responsible for every piece of mechanical equipment on the place, Mr. Dixon.
All right, Stanley. I'll call the lawnmower man and have him pick it up. When you're finished with the rooms, Gladys, you can do the office.
Yes, Mr. Dixon.
He had no right to do that. No right at all.
Do what?
Embarrass me in front of you.
He don't mean anything.
He does. He's like all the rest of them. Did you hear his tone condescending, talking down to me? Just because I have an education, just because I use my brains.
Stanley, I guess we better get to work.
I don't take that sort of thing, Gladys. I can be pushed just so far, and then I won't take one single minute longer.
Back to the handyman in just a moment. Friends, one reason it's a good idea to chew Wrigley's Spearmint Gum every day is that it satisfies you without being rich or filling. You can chew Wrigley's Spearmint after meals, between meals, anytime, and as long as you want. You get your satisfaction from the delicious flavor and the natural, pleasant chewing. Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is wholesome and good for you. So make your daily treat Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. It's a treat you can trust for healthful daily enjoyment. Always keep a package or two of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum handy in your purse or pocket. Be sure to get Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. And now, Act Two of tonight's story, The Handyman.
Among the many people we talked to about Stanley Gibbon was the landlady of his rooming house, Mrs. Delaney. We were trying to get some insight on his background.
And I'll say this, he certainly had some mighty fancy ideas about writing books and all that.
He wrote?
Oh, no. He talked about it all the time, but he never got around to doing it. He kept saying if he could get some atmosphere, everything would be all right. He was always sending away for pamphlets and the like, studying about places to go and live.
With atmosphere?
Yes.
You wouldn't remember any of these places, Mrs. Delaney.
No, but it's all in the pamphlets. They're around here someplace.
Do you think you could find them, Mrs. Delaney?
I think they're in the kitchen. My daughter was using them in her geography lesson.
What do you think, Dave?
Well, as a strictly amateur psychologist, I'd say the guy had a number of first-class delusions. He could have been a professor, a novelist, an atom scientist, an engineer.
But they stopped him.
Uh-huh. I'd want competent medical opinion, Steve, but with all of this stuff we've gathered, I'd say he was probably psychotic.
Here they are. They're kind of sticky. She likes to eat while she's doing her homework.
May we keep them?
Oh, sure. She got a 98 in geography. She doesn't need them anymore.
Thank you. Mrs. Delaney, did Mr. Gibbon seem to have many friends?
Well, no, I don't think he did. At least not men friends. He was kind of a ladies' man, you might say. At least that's what he used to tell me.
Do you know any of the ladies?
No, it might have been more of his talk. Or it might not. You could never tell with Mr. Gibbon. But he was a nice-looking man, I'll say that much for him. And he always dressed real neat.
And that's one thing I always notice, the way a fellow dresses. It indicates character, I think.
Yes. Clothes are very significant.
My husband, he was a snappy dresser till we got married. Then you should have seen him.
You weren't very happy, were you?
He was mean, and he was a cheapskate, too. All time hollering about money. I couldn't stand it.
Yeah, I know.
You couldn't be mean like that, Stanley, could you?
I hope not.
I hope not, too, because, well, after all, I've only known you a month now.
Gladys, I said I wanted you to think it over. I didn't want you to rush into anything.
Oh, I've been thinking, all right. I mean, I rushed in with Clifford, and we had to have that divorce and all, and I wouldn't want that to happen again.
Oh, I wouldn't either. Not for anything.
Oh, Stanley.
Every person is entitled to happiness, Gladys.
I know.
They try to take it away from us, but we have to strike back.
Yes, that's right.
We won't let them stop us this time, will we?
No, Stanley.
No one?
No one.
Gladys.
Yes?
If I can get to the right people, I'm going to talk to them about my idea for the book.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how much money I should ask for in advance. It ought to be enough for us to go away on, don't you think so?
Anything you say, Stanley.
Yeah. I think I'll ask for $2,500.
That would be nice.
Well, that's little enough, isn't it, for an idea like mine?
Of course, Stanley.
Yeah. That's what I'll ask. $2,500. They better not turn me down this time. They just better not. That's all I've got to say.
Oh, Stanley, can I see you a minute, please?
What do you want? You told me to trim the rose bushes today, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Tell me, where were you all day yesterday, Stanley?
I had to go to the city on business.
Well, don't you think you might have told me, seeing as I pay for your time?
You weren't around, and I had an important appointment.
Well, I wanted you to help Gladys with the room.
I'm not a chambermaid. I was hired to work in the garden.
You don't like your job much, do you?
No, I don't.
That's what I thought. Well, you can work till the end of the week, Stanley. I'll have somebody to take your place by then.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean I'm getting someone else next week.
Behind my back.
Oh, Stanley.
It's all right. It's what I would have expected.
I'm not getting anyone behind your back. I'll run an ad in the paper for the rest of the
week.
You
found out about my book, didn't you?
Your what?
My book. You knew that's why I went into the city yesterday.
What are you talking about?
The idea for my book. You want it for yourself, isn't that it?
Stanley, I don't know anything about a book, and I assure you.
You went into my room yesterday when I was gone, weren't you?
Now, look, if you...
I put a matchstick on the top of my door so I'd know if anyone was in there. You wanted to see my notes for the book, didn't you?
Stanley, you had better go and take care of the roses.
You didn't answer my question. You were in my room, weren't you?
Of course I was in your room. I couldn't find
you,
so I...
I knew you were there. Did you enjoy reading my notes?
I did not read any notes. I just wanted to find you.
To tell me you'd hired someone behind my back?
Now, Stanley, listen.
Did you get him cheaper than me?
If you'd only listen to me.
Maybe you resent my education, is that it?
No, I don't. I resent your laziness and indifference to your work and your complete lack of responsibility.
Oh, go do your work, Stanley. Mr. Dixon, I don't allow anyone to talk to me the way you've talked to me.
All right, sue me.
I don't have recourse to legal means, but there are other ways of dealing with your kind.
Get out of here,
Stanley. Men like you who steal ideas are worse than common thieves.
I said get out.
Much worse. A thief only takes money.
Look, you want me to throw you out of here?
Take your hands off of me, Mr.
Dixon. Just stand up with you, Stanley.
I don't like anyone to touch me.
Take your hands off of me! All right, now, get out.
Did you notice that I'm strong, Mr. Dixon? I'm very strong for a man my size, don't you think so?
Go on, Stanley.
I'm going, Mr. Dixon. But you're not through with me yet. I know how to take care of your kind. Believe me, I do.
Back to the handyman in just a moment. Friends, here's a helpful suggestion that will add to your family's fun and enjoyment on Christmas. While you're doing the rest of your Christmas shopping, get some packages of healthful, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Hang glistening packages of Wrigley's Spearmint on your tree. They're white, red, and green, real holiday colors, and they'll give your tree an added attractive touch of color and cheer. Slip a few packages of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum into Christmas stockings. They'll delight the children. Remember, too, Wrigley's Spearmint Gum is a wholesome, non-filling treat for your family to enjoy after those big holiday meals. So for extra holiday enjoyment that costs very little, get a supply of Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. And now, Act Three of tonight's story, The Handyman.
Travel pamphlets which Stanley Gibbon left in his room at Harvale were the only substantial leads we had in the case. One pamphlet from a bus line had one particular tour circled in red pencil. The ticket seller on this bus line seemed to remember a man of Gibbon's description, so we followed the lead further and talked with the driver of the bus on that particular run.
That would have been sometime early part of last month, huh?
The 4th, probably.
Yeah, it would have to be the 4th if it was my run.
You, get to know some of the passengers during the 3 days of your run, don't you?
Oh, yeah, sure. Of course, they're not allowed to talk to me while we're moving, but I kid around with them when we stop. Now, there was one guy I remember. He was something like the one you were telling me about, kind of the nervous, wiry type. He was writing things in a book all the time and...
Writing?
Yeah, like he was taking notes. I asked him, I was kind of kidding, what he's doing, notes for a magazine? And I kind of, once a guy did that, and he wrote up this piece for the Sunday paper.
Did he tell you what the notes were for?
No, he kind of got sore. Said I wouldn't understand. It was very complicated. That's how I remember, because I usually get along good with the passengers.
Mr. Baker, one of our agents drew a picture of the man we're looking for based on the description of people who knew him. Will you look at this, please, and tell us if that's the man?
It looks an awful lot like him. At least the way I remember.
And we believe he was wearing a corduroy jacket like that at the time.
Yeah, I think this guy wore a corduroy jacket. Yellow. And it needed cleaning, the way I remember.
Convinced that we were on the right track, we notified the police of Mason City, the last stop on the bus run, to be on the lookout for Stanley Gibbon. We hoped he might have stayed there looking for atmosphere.
Might as well look in the middle of the prairie as a place like Mason City. Wait till you see San Francisco, Gladys.
Yeah, I bet it's pretty, huh?
Mason City. I'll be glad to get out of this den of thieves.
Stanley.
Yeah?
I don't like to bring up a thing like this, Stanley, but what are we going to use for money?
I told you I'd take care of that.
Well, don't get sore, honey.
I got a week's pay coming, so have you.
Yeah, but San Francisco isn't that a long ways from here?
Well, don't you trust me to provide for us?
Oh, Stanley.
Because if you don't trust me...
Stanley, don't talk like that. All I meant was... Don't talk like that, please.
All right. Don't cry about it.
I trust you, Stanley, more than any person in the whole world.
All right, Gladys.
San Francisco's such a long ways, and if we didn't have the money...
Gladys, look at me. Look. There's someone who owes me a good deal of money, not just for work, but for something he stole from me. And I'm going to get that money, Gladys, before we go.
Yeah?
Yes, I am. A person who... steals ideas. Is stealing the most valuable thing there is. We'll have enough money, Gladys. Don't you worry about that.
When our description of Stanley Gibbon was sent to Mason City, an alert state trooper decided to check on a man who had recently taken a job at the Dixon Motel. When the trooper arrived at the motel, he was told that Dixon and the hired man had gone to the Mason City bank that morning and would be back at noon.
Now, you know you're not going to get away with this, Stanley.
You just drive the car, Mr. Dixon. Don't talk so much.
Stanley, listen to me.
I'm through listening to you. You're nothing but a common thief. You ought to be glad I'm giving you a chance to redeem yourself.
You don't really believe
that. Yes, I do. Now, stop talking.
But, Stanley, if you...
Look, Mr. Dixon. We're going to walk into that bank, and you're going to cash a check for $3,000.
There's no use trying to reason with you, is there?
The best thing you can do is to do just what I tell you to do. And don't get the idea I wouldn't use this gun. I wouldn't hesitate a second with your kind.
What do you mean, my kind?
I don't want to talk about it.
Well, did I treat you badly, Stanley? Underpay you? Work you too hard?
You spied on me. You hired someone else behind my back, and you read my notes. You went into my room when I was out, and you read my notes.
I didn't, Stanley.
Don't lie to me. There's one thing I can't stand as a liar. If you say one more lying word, I'll kill you right now. Do you understand that? One more line will be the last thing you ever say, and I mean it.
Why are you slowing up? That's the bank, at the corner there.
Oh. Yeah. I've got change for the parking meter. There's one right in front.
Stanley, there's still time
That's
to change.
That's all I want
to
hear out of you, Mr. Dixon. Just stop talking. All right. You know what you're going to do?
Yes.
Tell me.
We're going in. I'll cash the check, and we're coming right out, and...
And we're getting back in the car and driving to the motel, and I'm taking the car from here. And just remember, if you don't do everything just right, I'd just as soon kill you.
Good morning, Miss Riley.
Good morning, Mr. Dixon.
I'd like to cash this check, please. It's rather large.
$3,000. Could you wait just a minute, Mr. Dixon? I haven't got enough cash here.
Yes, I'll wait.
They're at my window, Sergeant. Mr. Dixon and the other man. Here's his check.
Okay, miss. Charlie, keep me covered when I get out there. Where's the money, miss?
Here you are.
Okay.
He's hoping I look like a bank teller. He's dangerous, Charlie. Work around back of him so you can watch his hands. Come on. Morning, Mr. Dixon.
Good morning.
You wanted 3,000, sir?
Yes, I did.
Is the other gentleman with you?
Yes. Yes, he is.
Sir, may I speak to you, please?
What do you want?
There's a state trooper right behind you. Don't reach for your pocket. Just stand still.
Why, you lousy...
There's a gun in that pocket, Charlie. Take it away from him. I'll phone the ambulance. Looks like he's hurt.
Stanley Gibbons survived the single gunshot wound sustained when he resisted arrest at the Mason City Bank. He was quickly extradited to Massachusetts and arraigned for the killing of his employer in Harvale. However, Gibbon was declared insane without trial and was removed to a state hospital. Our books are closed on The Handyman.
Friends, we want to remind you that it's a good idea to have plenty of healthful, delicious Wrigley's Spearmint in your home for the holidays. Hang some glistening packages of Wrigley's Spearmint on your Christmas tree. They'll give your tree an extra touch of color and good cheer. Give the children an added treat by putting a few packs of Wrigley's Spearmint in their Christmas stockings. And have some to pass around to everyone during family get-togethers. Remember, too, Wrigley's Spearmint gum is an ideal treat to top off hearty holiday meals, because chewing Wrigley's Spearmint freshens the taste, sweetens the breath, and aids digestion. So get some packages of Wrigley's Spearmint chewing gum for happy holidays. Remember, that's Wrigley's Spearmint chewing gum. Healthful, refreshing, delicious. In tonight's story, Bill Johnstone played the part of Stanley. Elspeth Eric was Gladys. This radio dramatization for the FBI in Peace and War was written by Louis Pelletier. These programs are produced and directed by Betty Mandeville. All names and characters used on the program are fictitious. Any similarity to persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This program is based upon Frederick L. Collins' copyrighted book, The FBI in Peace and War, and the broadcast does not imply endorsement, authorization, or approval by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. The makers of Wrigley's Spearmint Gum, the refreshing, delicious treat that gives you real chewing enjoyment, invite you to listen to next Wednesday's story, The Reproduction Line, on The FBI in Peace and War. Same time, same station.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
We Chicago folks are used to seeing the old thermometer shooting down below zero, but our cold weather is tough on car engines. With us in mind, Shell's research team has developed a special oil for our deep freeze winters, and it's now at your Shell station. This new oil is Shell's X100 Motor Oil Premium 5W20. You get easier starting because this new multigrade oil is free-flowing even when cold. Yet it has the properties to protect your engine when it's fully warmed up. And it's doubly worthwhile because with Shell X100 Premium 5W20, you can save up to 15% on your gas bills. This new oil also quiets knock by preventing the formation of knock-producing deposits, which, in effect, increases the octane value of your gasoline. But that's not all. Engine wear is reduced, too, because this oil is alkaline to stop acid action, an important factor in cold engines. You can find this new low-temperature oil at your Shell dealers. Just ask him for new Shell X100 Premium 5W20. 32 degrees at 725. This is the WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago.